Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here's your host, JJ Regan.
Hey, everybody, and welcome into another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. I am your host, the Capitals correspondent, JJ Regan. With me today, he is the Capitals insider. He is the Dr. Loomis to my Michael Myers. He is Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
I don't get that one, but.
You don't get Halloween, Michael Myers.
Oh, you mean like the.
And the weird little doctor that's running everywhere trying to stop him.
Okay.
Yeah,
I sort of get it. I'm glad you enjoy these.
I love them.
That was pretty obscure, you got to admit.
That's not obscure, Mike. First of all, Halloween is a classic franchise. Second of all, we are almost a week away from Halloween. It's very apt.
I hate Halloween.
You would.
You know what I do? I get a big bowl, I fill it up with candy, and I leave it out front.
Do you have a sign that says, take one, please?
No, because I know a bunch of kids are going to have a bunch. Yeah, so I check on it every 20 minutes and fill it back up.
One of those people. I piss people off with Halloween because I changed my ringtones for Halloween. So I have the Halloween theme song as my phone ringtone. And then whenever I get a text message, it's a wolf owl. It's random. Whenever somebody hears it, they look around like, what the hell is that? It used to be the Joker cackling, but then I got a text message at like 7 in the morning, and it woke up my wife, and I got yelled at for a while, and I couldn't do that anymore. Anyway, today's a very special podcast.
See who wears the pants in that relationship.
Today's a very special podcast. I've been promising to you that we would get to your questions. Well, guess what? Today is the all-mailbag version of the podcast. So today, what we are going to talk about, we're going to rely on you, the listener, to determine the topics as we answer your questions. Tarik, let's get right into it. Wade Meyerhofer.
What's up, Wade?
I'll be attending the World Juniors in Buffalo this winter, and I was wondering if you guys had any insight on which cast prospects might be there. The preliminary rosters I've looked at only mention Sweden's Axel Jansson Fjällby. As far as I can tell, I think he's the only one.
Yeah, I did some research after seeing your question as well, and Fjällby's the only one I could come up with. Look, guys, this question requires some honesty. The Capitals went all in for a couple of years. They got rid of some prospects. They got rid of some picks. They didn't draft until the fourth round this year. Right. I mean, I think as this team was loading up in recent years, handing away, trading away some of these picks, we knew this day was going to come. And that day has arrived, and they aren't very stocked in terms of young prospects right now. And I think this will be an effect that they'll feel for a few years. But I didn't really hear complaints as they were loading up and getting all these star players to take a run of the cup the last couple of years. But that's where you are. That's where you're at. And I hope you have a lot of fun at the World Juniors. It looks like a great tournament. I would love to see one sometime. Maybe even this year I'm going to be up that way for one of my kids' hockey tournaments. Maybe I can swing by and see a game or two. And yeah, you're going to see a lot of other teams, other organizations' prospects until the Caps kind of get back to where they need to be.
Jonas Siegenthaler, Damian Rhea, and Ilya Samsonov played last year, but they, of course,
have aged out,
so they will not be there this year. So it looks like slim pickings in terms of the Caps.
But enjoy the tournament. I mean, I watch as much as I can on television, and it looks like a blast. I mean, it looks like a lot of fun, especially when you get into the medal rounds and it's USA-Canada or Sweden-USA or whatever. Like, they're just epic games.
All right, let's move on to Greg Christian.
What's up, Greg?
It seems to me that one of the primary things that's kept the Caps from winning a cup is that they take shifts off. Do you guys see the Caps' propensity to take shifts off being a significant issue? And if so, what do you think it's attributable to, and what do they need to do to change it?
Well, I mean, I kind of know what you're getting at, but I think that's far too simplistic an argument as to why they didn't win a Stanley Cup so far during the Alex Ovechkin era. I think that there was a time early on in my career when I watched hockey, my understanding of the game was a little, even though I played the game growing up, was a little less sophisticated, and I just said, oh, well, that team tried harder. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more going on than that, than just effort. And can a few shifts off at the wrong time hurt a team in a playoff game? Abso-freaking-lutely. It can end your season. I don't, however, feel like that has been the overwhelming reason. It's been other things. It's been tactical errors. It's been matchups. It's been, you know, number 71 and number 87 on the other side. Right. You know, it's been more than that. But I have a hard time, Greg, saying it's a lack of effort or taking shifts off that has prevented this team from hosting a cup.
I'm with you. Greg wrote a much longer email, and he referenced the playoffs against the Penguins. And you know, I remember the 2016 series where it really looked like the Capitals were the better team for most of those games, and they still ended up with a loss in the series. Especially in the first four games, the Capitals were the better team for a lot of those games, and we're still down 3-1. So I'm not looking at this as they're just taking shifts off. At this point, you know, there's nobody more motivated to win a Stanley Cup than this team. You know, it's been just the Penguins between them and the Cup. Obviously, there are other teams there. Obviously, the West is tough. But the way they see it, they think if they hadn't lost to the Penguins in all the years that the Penguins won the Stanley Cup, they would have been the ones hoisting it. So I think they're definitely motivated there. So I don't see that being an issue. He has a second question. Are you surprised that Trotz hasn't gone to dressing 70 men so the top four don't have to play so many minutes?
Surprised is not the right word. You know, there are other things that happen when you go with 7D, which is obviously you only have 11 forwards and things get a little hairy on the attempt to roll lines, because then now you're moving a player from another line to fill out your fourth line or however you're doing it. So I wouldn't say surprised. I think that it didn't have the desired results last year in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, kind of making that move, having not done it in his previous three seasons. And I do, however, see how going to 7 could help you mitigate the big load on the top guys. I'm just not so sure that's the right move. I think the right move is making your rookies better so they can handle more minutes as opposed to going to 7D.
That's exactly the point. If you put 7D, the rookies aren't going to get enough consistent playing time, I don't think. And it's going to be hard for them to improve over the course of the year. There's seven defensemen. It makes sense in spurts, but to do it consistently, I think, messes a lot up. It messes things up more than it solves. Like I said, you're not getting consistent minutes, you're not playing with consistent partners. It's really hard to get that consistency that I think could help the rookies. Now, granted, they're switching lines up a lot as the season goes on. But
well, I mean, injuries have forced that. Right. But you know, just sorry to jump in there, but yeah. I mean, you know, players will tell you that, you know, chemistry matters a lot.
Yeah.
Having that feeling of anticipation and cohesiveness with your partner on D or your line mates up front, it matters a lot.
Yeah.
And if you're going to start rolling in a way where you're switching from shift to shift, I'm not sure that's the way to get out of the funk the Caps kind of find themselves in.
And last year in the playoffs, you could conceivably have a situation where you just Carl Alzner as that seventh defenseman and bring him in as a penalty kill specialist.
Right.
But right now, who's that seventh defenseman going to be? I don't think the Capitals are better by dressing Aaron Ness every night and adding him into the lineup. But that's just me. We're going to talk more about the defense, specifically Christian Hughes. We're going to talk about the Caps' prospects and how they develop players. And we're going to talk about some possible trade options. And we're going to talk about all that right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back, Tark. Let's jump into some more questions here. Mika Reed. Mika writes, Hughes shows great puck handling, scoring prowess, and skating. Is it possible to move him to a winger position so his size isn't such a hindrance on the blue line? Interesting thought.
That's an interesting thought. I don't think it'd be the smartest thing to do at this stage of his career. Remember, he's 23 years old. I'm not saying that's too late to make a move like that. I mean, there have been hybrid players in the past that have been able to kind of go back and forth between playing D and wing. I'm not so sure that'd be the right move for him. Like the first thought when I saw heard that question was him trying to get the puck off the boards on a breakout. I was like, yeah, he might get crushed. I don't know. I think that he's a D-man. He's a defenseman. That's what he is at this point in his career. I don't think moving him is the right answer. Teaching him how to use leverage and how to avoid plays like the one he found himself in early in that Panthers game where he got bullied off the puck and it was a turnover and ended up in the back of the Capitals net. Helping him learn ways around situations like that and how to, like I said, use leverage to move bigger players, and whether it's in the corner or whether it's in front of the net. Quite frankly, I'm intrigued by his offensive upside. You know, it's funny, I ran some numbers the other day. If you follow me on Twitter, you probably saw this. Hard Juice, his father, played 82 games in the NHL, scored 2 goals. Was a puck-moving defenseman, just like him. This kid's already got 2 goals in 6 games. Yeah. So he's already equaled that. Next one will surpass him. When I told him that, he just laughed. And said, I can't wait till I get my third. So I think he is what he is at this point. I think there are some small defensemen in the league that have learned how to deal with that lack of size. It was funny. I was talking to someone today about him within the organization. He was at the draft table when he was taken, and one of the when McPhee was kind of deciding what to do there, the scout said, "Do you realize, George, this guy's not going to get any bigger. Like, this is what he is." And they drafted him anyway, and I think they're glad they did. They took a flyer on a seventh rounder who had some upside, and it took him a while to kind of get to this point. And I think, from what I've seen, I think he's going to be a good player.
Right.
I think even if he isn't able to get to 175 or 180 pounds, I think he'll be able to figure it out. He's a very smart player, high IQ, and has that offensive gift.
Scoring ability alone is not what makes a player, is not the difference between a defenseman and a forward. I think Juice has made it this far in his career by being a defenseman and doing it successfully at the AHL level. I know every once in a while you hear about those players who switch. I know, Dustin Byfuglien, Brent Burns are guys who have gone between forward and defenseman, but Christian Juice, his skill set to me is a puck moving defenseman. And that's what he looks like. That's how he plays. And to me,
you know what's going to make him valuable to the Capitals? Being able to produce from the back end. I mean,
yes,
I'm not saying he'll ever become a Brent Burns, but I mean, how many? There's so much more the opposing team has to prepare for and deal with when you have a guy who is a whatever he becomes, even if it's a 10 goal scorer from the back end,
right?
How much more they have to contend with when you got a defenseman who has those kind of wheels and that kind of upside and those instincts and is always up in the play trying to make things happen.
Yeah. And in this day and age of the NHL, how many offensive chances start from the defensive zone? From the breakout?
Right.
I mean, this is the way teams are built today, except for the Montreal Canadiens, and see how well that's working for them. So
I mean, the goal that you scored the other day, the one where he got the puck along the wall, walked it off the wall, made a move around a player, waited, sniped over the goalie's glove hand. I mean, that is a veteran move right there. That's something that if you have a blue liner who can do that, who can walk the puck off the line or off the wall and make a play like that, you hold on to that, man.
Yeah.
Wingers sorry for any wingers. I mean, they're a dime a dozen. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's a good point too. Winger,
a D man who can produce goals and contribute offensively is way more valuable to me.
Yes, absolutely.
Than a 10 goal scoring winger.
Absolutely, defenseman is such a much more valuable position than winger. I don't know why you would convert a what could be potentially be a valuable defenseman into a dime a dozen winger, as you said. That's a great point. For once, Tarek, you actually have some good. You bring some stuff to the table every once in a while.
I know things.
Let's see, Brian Seal.
What's up, Brian?
Do you have any perspective on how well the Caps are doing developing players? Is there cause for optimism or concern?
Well, we were talking about this before. I think that in terms of developing players, one thing I have noticed in my 2 years back on the beat, or a year and a half back on the beat after taking 4 years to cover the Redskins, is I feel like the defensemen really do come along under the tutelage of Todd Reirden. I feel like, and you're really going to see it this year with Christian Juice and Madison Bowie. I mean, you know, here a less creative coach probably wouldn't have put into play this system where you're out there, they're out there with different partners a lot, and yeah, the team's 4-4-1, and but it's mostly a factor of not scoring. The D has not been great. Don't get me wrong; they have not been great as a group. But all things considered, I feel like Reirden is doing a pretty good job handling the youngsters and kind of bringing them along at the right pace. I think in terms of on the back end, I think this team does. At least right now, it's doing a pretty good job of developing.
Well, just go ahead and look up and down the Caps roster at players that they drafted and basically build a team around. Brayden Holpe and Phil Grubauer, those are two players that
Brayden
they drafted.
Brayden Holpe is a great example.
Yeah.
Here's a guy, when he showed up with his glasses on as a rookie, I was like, what? What? Right. And you know what? I was told early on. I was told early on by Dave Pryor that, hey, look, Varlamov and Neuvirth, high-end talent. This kid Holpe, if we develop him right, he'll be better than those two. And I went, yeah, whatever. look at Varley with these explosive moves in the crease and Neuvirth with his very smooth, polished look already. And you know what? You know who's right? The guy who found Brayden Holpe.
They definitely developed him. He went from he went all the way. He went from the ECHL to the AHL to the NHL and is now a Vezina Trophy winner, and it's through the Capitals' development. You look at the defense.
Grubauer is another good example.
Grubauer is a good example. You look at the defense, Madison Bowie and Christian Jews. The jury's out on them, but Christian Jews was a seventh round pick who they developed into now an NHL player. We'll see how good he turns out to be. But you also have John Carlson, Dmitry Orlov. You go to the offense, guys that they
drafted. I don't count first rounders as developing talent.
That's
right.
They didn't develop Alex Ovechkin.
Right.
Evgeny
Kuznetsov. Oh, wait.
I did that
to piss you off.
I know. But, Andre Burakovsky, player they developed. Tom Wilson, the guy they developed, not as long as they should have. But that's a story for another day.
When you look at this organization structure, I mean, having Hershey just right down the road.
Yeah.
Having all these development camps and rookie – I know the rookie tournament got canceled this year, but this team really does invest time and money into making sure prospects are coming along at the right pace. And I know Barry Trotz talks almost daily to Troy Mann down in Hershey to kind of catch up on who's doing well, who's doing the right thing. The systems, special teams, right. And even strength are very similar to what they run here in Washington. So when the players show up, when they get called up, there's not a huge learning curve, right?
Right.
And I think having that synergy between the farm club and the big club, I think that's helped. I know there are a lot of fans out there that kind of maybe feel like this team hasn't maximized all of its prospects. But if you go and you look at around the league, I bet the Caps in the last 10 years have done a lot better than the average.
Yeah, I would think so, and I know
there was a time early in George McPhee's career where the drafts were like, oh my God, what are they doing?
Right.
But McPhee figured it out. in the right after the lockout, maybe the year after the lockout, started getting some high picks. They started picking the right guys with those high picks, right, and started finding some gems in the later rounds. So I would say they do a pretty good job of developing.
Yeah, I know criticism of Barry Trotz is that he doesn't trust enough of the young players, and so they don't bring them up and they don't utilize those players, like you said. But I think the mentality of this organization,
he's been win now mode,
but I think the mentality of the organization since McClellan and Trotz have come in is it's better to overcook these guys, right, rather than to undercook these guys. And so I think they always,
Nathan Walker's another example. I mean, he's only played a handful of games this year, but he's not third round pick.
I think they're always
let marinate down in Hershey.
They always err on the side of giving them more time to marinate rather than bringing them up here too fast. I think that's just been the mentality. I don't think it's because of mistrust. I think it's because they'd rather them be 100% ready rather than 50% ready and then hope they figure things out once they come here. Let's move on to Nathan Springer.
What's up, Nathan?
Very interesting question. What Caps players are likely to be traded later in the year if the Caps continue to play poorly and fall out of the playoff picture? Now, usually with these, you go to the guys with the one year left on their contract.
Yeah.
So Lars Eller, Philip Grubauer, we've talked a lot about Philip Grubauer being a trade, but the guy that you need to pay attention to, the guy who is going to have a very interesting contract situation with this team this year, John Carlson.
Right. I would say he's the one guy where if things do go south and they feel like he can't be signed, he's going to be the hottest defenseman on the market this summer. If they feel like they're not even in the ballpark and they are in a mode where they've got to acquire some more prospects and some kind of change directions on the fly a little bit, maybe he's a chip you leverage. But I'll tell you this, man, about John Carlson. I know he sometimes is a lightning rod for this fan base. You know, don't sleep on him, man. He's a two-way defenseman who right now is logging, 27-plus minutes a night.
Yeah.
They don't grow on trees. You know, everyone complained about Carl Alzner. How bad are they missing him right now? You know, like these guys don't underestimate what he means to this team on the blue line in terms of transition, in terms of what he brings in the power play. Personally, I'd like to see him be a player who stays here for his entire career. I just know the reality of the situation. They're
right
close to the salary cap ceiling, and right now they're kind of teetering. We don't know which direction this team is going to go. I think they're a playoff team. I think they're going to get their stuff together and make a run because they just have too much talent to flush a season. But I would say I agree with you wholeheartedly. Carlson's the player to keep an eye on. If things aren't going well in late February.
Yeah, it's going to be so tough because if you're in a playoff position, you can't really trade away a defenseman who means that much to your team. I mean, look, he's playing 27, 28 minutes a night.
Right.
And the Capitals need another defenseman.
Right.
So I don't know how they could possibly get better by trading one of those players.
I mean, just to be clear here, I mean, if this team is in the playoff hunt, and they should be,
They're
not going to make any trades.
They can't really.
If anything, they're going to look to load up a little bit, and they don't have any money to do that. But by that time, they might have a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff's going to happen between now and
it's
then.
It's interesting because they're going to risk losing him for nothing, and they may have no choice. But they may not have the money to sign him because you know he's going to be an expensive player if he makes it to free agency.
Yes, he's going to sign the kind of contract that ensures several generations of Carlsons never have to work.
If you want to have your questions read and answered on the next pod or whenever we do another mailbag pod, send your questions into capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. As promised, we will answer your questions. I told you we'd do it. I told you it would come. And this is the first of what will probably be many mailbag podcasts. So keep those questions coming. I looked on iTunes after my plea for reviews. We have 17 reviews on iTunes. Or I guess it's called Apple Podcasts now. We have 17 reviews.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. And we have a 5-star average.
Five stars out of how many stars? Five stars?
Yes.
Whoa!
I know. Look at that. We're doing pretty well. Guys, those ratings, those reviews, those matter.
People, 17, those, that's not enough, though.
It's not enough.
We need to get to, like, 30.
We need more ratings, and we need more reviews of telling us and other people how great this podcast is. Those things, as hokey as it sounds, I mean, we do sit there and love reading how great we are.
Hey, it's getting cold outside. Baby needs a new winter coat.
There you go. But as hokey as it sounds, those things actually do matter. It helps spread the word about the show, as do subscriptions. So please, wherever you listen to this podcast, subscribe. It really does help out the show. Also, there's a new Capitals podcast from NBC Sports Washington. It is the Capitals Extra Podcast. You can listen to it the morning after every game. Is a recap of everything that happened with Rob Carlin, usually Alan May. Sometimes they bring in Brent Johnson. Sometimes Tarek even pops in for a little bit. It is everything you could possibly want to know about the game the night beforehand, so be sure to check that out. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. Guys, thanks as always for tuning in. I promised we'd get you mailbag questions, and we did, as promised, so keep those questions in. For Tarek El-Bashir, this is J.J. Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.
See ya.